Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Katrina Cartwright, Education and Outreach Manager at the NAGB, standing in for your regular host, Maddie Rowe, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Now, if you missed part of the show or would like to share it with a friend, you can listen to the show by going to the NAGB website at nagb.org.bs. Then you scroll down to the Learn menu to Blank Canvas, and you can find all of our archive shows there. And while you are on our page, don't forget to check out our events calendar. We have so many amazing things happening at the NAGB. So super excited to share that we have a new exhibition opening next week, February 2nd, starting at 6:30. So for all of you who are thinking about, well, what can I do in Nassau? There's nothing to do. There's always something to do. It's just about where you are. So we have a new show opening, Antonius Roberts, Art, Ecology, and Sacred Space. The NAGB has been closed for a month to install this exhibition. It is going to be amazing because I've had the opportunity to see it go up and to see all of those pieces come in. It's been quite a feat, especially some of the larger pieces. So really encourage those of you who would like to come to the opening to get all dressed up and come on over and have a little bit of wine with us and see some really great work. And if you can't make it to the opening, the show is going to be up until the end of July. So there's lots and lots of time to see it. And we're going to have so much programming around it, so lots of ways to participate and learn more about the show and the work and the artist. We also have another big event coming up in March, also on our website. So March 1st through 5th, the NAGB is hosting the Museum Association of the Caribbean Conference 2023 with our local hosts, with other partnering hosts, the University of the Bahamas, Central Bank of the Bahamas, and AMMC. So for those of you who are interested in museums, for those of you who are a part of the creative community, you're into cultural workers, you're interested in having critical dialogue about the role of museums in society, or maybe even thinking about starting your own museum, do come. You can register and pay online. Just go to the NHB's website, click on the event. You can learn more about it. Click the button that will take you to the registration page. It's super, super easy. And there is a special rate for people living in the Caribbean. And also, just as a plug, we're going to have day tickets available starting in February, which is just next week. So not next week, the following week, for people who may want to come, but you can't commit to coming to a full 3-day conference. But if you just want to come to one of the events, you'll certainly have the opportunity to buy that ticket. So we will talk about that a bit more later. So very excited to share all that. So lots of great things happening at the NAGB. And now that I've talked about all of that, I'd like to go back to the conversation I've been having with our guest tonight, Jody Minnis from TURN. We have been talking about the upcoming show that's going to be opening at TURN tomorrow, In This House Is a Home, featuring works by Heino Schmidt. Is his first solo show with TURN. And we've just been having a discussion about Heino's practice, about really kind of recurring themes in his work, and also really having the opportunity to have artists like Heino taken onto a more international stage and really pushing those artists in that space to really show people that, hey, you know what? The Bahamas has art, right? I think it's really great to be able to see that happening on a regular basis through the galleries that have opened right now, have recently opened, well, not recently, but fairly recently, I guess, like TURN, CAB, The Current, really creating a new environment for artists in this community. So, Jody, I was saying before we went to the break how I was having a discussion with somebody about how the art community has changed so much over the years, thinking about from, like, since independence, even when I was young artists starting out here in the early 2000s, Where you really felt you were very isolated. Like, if you're going to be an artist here and work here, like, your market was just here. And to be able to access those international markets, you'd have to go abroad and stay abroad. And now that's changed so much because of this new approach that galleries are taking to representing artists. So, I guess just thinking about how much has changed and what that means, thinking about the creative landscape. Yeah, it's pretty amazing, I think, to just watch this change happen.
I definitely think that it's one of those like slow trickle things. We use the word ecosystem a lot, and I think that it's a testament to the ecosystem and community that we have here. So we have a lot of persons who do the thing where they go off to college abroad and they get their degrees and they stay there and they create their own communities there. But what they're doing at the same time is looking back and reaching back and saying, hey, have you considered this person? Can you look at that person? And in the same token, while you have artists doing that, you have art administrators working in various museums and galleries abroad as well, doing the same thing. Have you considered the Caribbean? Have you considered these artists specifically from the Bahamas? And you have Bahamians and Caribbean nationals who are stationed at universities as professors, and they're doing the same thing. Why don't we have a population of students from this region? How do we get a population of students from this region? And they then become like the ambassadors for that. So you have this kind of symbiosis and synchronicity and this like mutual effort going on. But I will also say that we had Bahamian artists like John Beadle, Antonius Robertson, Stan Burnside, who will tell you that they did work with galleries in the US while they lived in the Bahamas. And it didn't come through a channel or a funnel like Turn, but by their own efforts, they were able to make those connections and have US representation. Did it look like what Turn and The Current and so on are doing now? Probably not. But these are also people who did residencies in parts of Africa. And like if you read Brent Malone's story, you would say he traveled like a lot. So I think all of this collective effort of reaching out, branching out, reaching back, created a beautiful platform for spaces like Turn to build off of. And I think it's also a testament to our history as Turn. Our director Lauren, she worked for a really great gallery in London, and because of that background and that framework, she was able to bring that skill set here. And I think most people know Amanda Colton's backstory, actually opening an art fair, a small art fair in New York, and running the National Art Gallery and having that kind of ecstasy. That expertise, and they are like mutual brains in it, and they're both different. Lauren being based in the UK and Amanda also being based in the UK, with primarily in the US, covering both of those territories actually helps us to best strategize for the artists that we work with that live here in the Bahamas.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think, I think I liken galleries the more you think about when you go abroad to school, because I've had during my teaching days, I had students come to me and say, well, do I really need to go abroad and get like a BFA, right? Because of course at the moment, University of Bahamas still only offers an associate's in art. And what I always said was, you don't have to. There are other ways to really expand your knowledge and your skills and your professional acumen outside of the school structure. The only difference is that it's harder because then, of course, it's all self-driven, and you have to actively go and not just look for these opportunities, but try to access them without having the backing of an institution that already has those relationships. And when I think about what, like you were talking about Antonius Roberts and Brant Malone and those, I mean, even thinking about Kendall Hanna's story about how he just went over to the US and was doing some stuff. I mean, he never went to university, he never went to school to be trained as an artist. When you think about the traditional sense of it, it's that kind of, I guess, self-directed learning can be done, but it's so much harder. And when you think about galleries, what galleries provide for a lot of artists is a go-between. So instead of the artist having to, because it takes a lot of time and energy and money
Oh,
to be able
yeah.
to do that, to do those things.
Yeah.
And artists are regular people. You know, we have lives, we have families, we have bills,
Yeah,
we have obligations.
I think that what I think to go back to your point about universities are built-in networks, especially as art professionals. And it's not just networks to people, but it's networks to resources. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure that there's like some clay manufacturers and places where you would get glazes that you probably wouldn't have stumbled across unless you had like been in an environment where you were able to explore like all of those resources. And I think for somewhere like the Bahamas, specifically in New Providence, where there's still a lot of infrastructural work that we need to do, those like being plugged into a place that has like readily available resources help. But I think what is happening now is that because of the internet, social media, people are actually like friendlier as well. I think that there are a lot of older artists that want to pour more and give more of themselves and their resources. Like, there are people who just like hand you their playbook for things. So I think that that helps as well. But the function of a gallery, or the purpose of a gallery, yes, is that go-between. But also, I think there's a level of compromise that a gallery shields artists from, if that makes sense. And I'll explain. I think when you're kind of up close to the client, you know, you tend to, the client is in your brain rather than, or the consumer is in your brain rather than your sole focus just being on producing the best work, being curious, being experimental, you know, actually having fun and like, you know, like making in a way that you want to make. I feel like when you, and speaking as someone who, you know, had a practice, there was a lot of things that I did because I'm like, okay, well, people like blue, so I won't use red. You know what I mean? Or like people like small things, and I'm like small things. And yes, those are sometimes the conversations that your gallery has with you. But if you want to paint with red, it's your gallery's job to find people that want to buy work with red paint in it. You know what I mean? So it's this it allows the artist to be an artist, and it allows the artist to be an artist, the gallery to be the gallery, the museum to be the museum. So like galleries help to like create a balance between the ecosystem on the whole, I think, as well.
No, absolutely. I think it's I think years ago I was had again multiple conversations, but in one of these conversations talking about some of the challenges that artists have, and the first thing I said was, well, I mean, this was before Turn and Cab and the Current. First thing I said was, well, because artists, this goes back to the business of art, which we are slow. I mean, within the art community here and the art, like you say, art ecosystem, we're actually expanding the professions within this space. In the past, I would say 20 years, it's slowly been happening. And in a way that actually allows, like you say, all these different levels, these go-betweens, allowing artists to be artists and the galleries to be galleries, the museums to be museums, because you have these different levels and you have people who are acting as negotiators, the people who are have the business acumen and the skill to be able to really, how can I put it, move the arts forward while allowing the artist to just like create, because a lot of times when you're in your space, you just want to make work. You don't want to spend all your time worrying about, oh, well, who's going to buy it and how do I access these buyers? So it's really interesting to have these conversations about how the arts network has been changing so much, and how, like you say, you have a network of arts administrators and gallerists and curators in a way we haven't had before in this country, and just watching that expand even more. So we have to take a quick break. But for all of our listeners, be sure to come back in just a few minutes. You are tuning in to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio, and we look forward to having you back with us very, very soon.